Hello and welcome to Live the Grasp. I am Brian Naylor and I'm joined on the line by Mike Refo. On today's pod, we're going to be recapping the Week 13 NFL slate. And we're going to be diving into our new format, which is we each took five of our favorite picks from the week and went through that. And then we'll touch on any high points if any something in the other games stood out. What's up, man?
Dude, is Washington actually going to beat the Steelers?
Yeah, I just flashed that game. It was 17-17.
Jeez. It's 2017 Washington now.
Wow, with a minute left. Love
it. And it looks like they have the ball too. I don't know. We may need to start this over. I need to watch this game.
Kidding. Your hot race in the NFC East over here.
Hey man. Those boys, the Cowboys tomorrow. I have a feeling we're gonna turn some heads. Yeah, well, I mean turn heads, I mean shaking heads because we're gonna be disappointed.
Yeah, but you're gonna turn heads watching Lamar rush for like 100 yards. All right, so we'll get into the first game. So the first game you had, it was the Cincinnati at Miami. You took Miami minus the 11.5, and they cover by 12. Quick recap off the top. Tua started, 296 and a touch, no interceptions there. Miles Gaskin returned, 141 all-purpose yards. He looked pretty spry. Miami's offense is still a little shaky. They went 1-10 on third downs, but their defense is for real. They held Cincy under 200 yards, had forced 2 turnovers and 6 sacks. You got anything else here?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the biggest problem was that Miami was just not doing well in the red zone. I mean, I thought that was the reason why they just barely covered this. But I mean, besides the one long TD pass, Cincy had nothing on offense this entire game. They were less than 200 yards for the entire game. So I like betting against Cincy from here on out just because they can't really move the ball. Miami offensively, I hope they know what they're doing with Tua. I mean, he had an all right game, but I just don't think that they're the same team. I would have felt a little bit better if Fitzy was playing instead of Tua, but yeah, you got the win.
All right, on to the next game. We actually both had picks in this game. So this next game is New Orleans at Atlanta. New Orleans is favored on the road here by 3. I liked Atlanta in this spot for a multitude of reasons, but New Orleans goes on to win by 5. They actually never trailed in the game. They got good games from both Thomas and Kamara. Thomas was over 100 yards, and Kamara was 97 yards and a touch. Taysom looked a little more comfortable, but not great still. But I still kind of think I was on the right side of this as far as Atlanta's concerned. Julio had a shot with like a minute left to win the game. It bounced off his fingertips. It would have been a spectacular catch, but he makes spectacular catches. So that would have pushed him over. So I don't know. I still feel like I'm on the right side, but it's a loser.
I actually picked the over 45.5 on this. So yeah, it was a little bit of a dagger, even though I think the same thing. I felt like I was on the right side here. I said that both teams would be better on third downs. And they were roughly right around their season average. I thought Atlanta would score more than 9 points. They only scored 16 points. Jones was pretty effective, 6 receptions, 94 yards. The biggest dagger in this, the red zone efficiency. Atlanta 1-for-4, New Orleans 3-for-5. I mean, that's just not going to get it done for an over, even though the over was 45.5. I mean, I knew I was against popular side here because it went from like 47 down to 45, and I think it even reached maybe 44. But I was pretty happy with the side I picked. You get unlucky sometimes.
All right, on to the next game. It's another pick by you. It's Cleveland at Tennessee. Tennessee was favored at home by 6 in the spot. You liked Cleveland. Cleveland was on a roll. Cleveland led 38-7 at halftime. They've more or less ran away with it. Tennessee scored 2 touchdowns late in the game in the last 90 seconds of the game to make it seem a little bit closer. The Browns go on to win 41-35 in the spot. Baker actually looked good. He went 25-33 for 334, 4 touches, no interceptions. I think the only other note here is that Corey Davis had a monster day. They paid a little more attention to AJ Brown and Derrick Henry. So Davis was sort of the beneficiary of that. So he walked away with 11 receptions for 182 and a touch. But you got anything else here?
Yeah, I mean, Titans defense is a huge liability. I did not think that they were going to give up 38 points in the first half, but I did think that Cleveland would be able to move the ball here, and they were. I mean, Chubb had an all right game, 80 yards for a TD too, but I did think Cleveland was going to hold up Derrick Henry, and they did quite well, actually, 15 carries, 60 yards. So you hit it. Mayfield had a monster stay. So yeah, I with both those teams, I felt like they were really, really similar on paper, and Cleveland getting plus six. I understand that their schedule's been soft, but Tennessee's defense is woeful. So moving on.
Yeah. Washington just secured it. Washington beat the Steelers.
Jesus.
Yeah. So they won 23-17. This happened while we're recording. So next game. So this was, I think, the fourth pick for you this weekend. So this was kind of the game of the weekend in a weird way. So this is Las Vegas at the New York Jets. Las Vegas was favored, I believe, by 7.5 when we picked this game. I know Josh Jacobs was ruled out ahead of the game, and you had the under.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's why I got flipped. All right, so you had the under in this game. They were favored by 7.5. What was the under at?
47.
47. Yeah.
It got destroyed. I mean, the main thing was I didn't think the Jets were going to be able to score, and I mean they scored what, 28 points? I don't know. You feel bad for Jets fans. I mean, I'm getting off a little bit of topic. That is a heartbreaking way to lose. I mean, I don't get that final call, but we did. I mean, I did have that as my same game parlay, but and I extended the alter. I mean, even with the alt total, I lost it on that. So points were scored in abundance in this game. So
yeah. So I'll do a quick recap of what happened at the end. Las Vegas led by 11 after three quarters. Then the Jets scored two touchdowns in the fourth. They go up by four on a 1 yard touchdown by Ty Johnson with 5 minutes and 34 seconds left. Good game by Ty Johnson, by the way, 22 carries, 104 touchdown. But with 19 seconds to go, the Jets had, it was right after an incompletion by Carr. The Jets had a 96.8 win percentage at this point. They were up by four, and then they inexplicably rushed seven on third down, and Carr completes a 46-yard touchdown to Henry Ruggs, who runs it in, and they score. And the stats on this are unbelievable. So there's no team. So here's the criteria. Final 15 seconds of the game, between a 4 and 8 point lead, so a one score game that's outside of a field goal, and 40 plus yards to the end zone. No team in NFL history has ever rushed seven pass rushers on a play in under those circumstances, and the Jets did it, and the Raiders countered, and then they lost.
I mean,
this gets back. I'm sorry, it's not NFL history. According to this database from ESPN Stats, it's from 2006. Still a shit ton of games, but regardless. I mean, they just invent ways to lose.
I mean, if you don't think they're tanking now after this, you're living on another planet, dude. I mean, no, I mean, I don't know what that guy was thinking. I mean, he was obviously let go because of it, but
yeah. So Greg Williams was fired today. It was kind of a show because I've never seen more of an outpouring from NFL analysts and other people that are in and around the league that were like, yo, this was insane. No one should do this. There were players that were like, that under no circumstances in their careers had this been done. And they're like, this is elementary level football to not do this. Let them get a 15-yard completion and let the clock run out.
Yeah.
Like, why are you sending the house and opening an opportunity for a long touchdown? But that's what he did. And in less than 24 hours, he didn't have a job anymore. So yeah. It's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Sorry, Jets.
Yeah, it's very Jetsy. All right, on to the next game we had.
How's your dad today?
Oh, it used to be a bit of mine. Like when I was in college and I was just a mean-spirited college kid, I would eyeball the Jets games. And if they lost in some tragic fashion, I would always call my house right then. And just to see how my dad, like not to check on my dad, but just kind of make it sound like it was a coincidence. And he'd be like, oh, I just not great. I mean, if you've been watching, were you watching the game? I don't know if you were. Oh, and I'm like, no. What happened? And that's how I spent half my Sundays in college. But anyways, on to the next game. By the way, my dad's all rooting for the Jets to lose. He was actually happy with it. He wants Lawrence, so they can ruin another, you know, blonde quarterback.
I don't know if you could really go wrong with Lawrence, but I mean, we don't have to go on a tangent, but yeah. Darnold, that's just like the worst name to have to be a quarterback. It just sounds like a loser, but whatever. Go ahead.
All right. On to the next game. Now we're kind of getting into some of my picks. We had the Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans. So I had mentioned last week that Will Fuller was out for the season due to PED use, and they had also got rid of Kenny Stills the same week. So I thought they were going to be shorthanded with wide receivers, and I was like, you know what? I like the under in this play. It was 50.5. I was a little surprised by that. I thought it would be in like the mid to high 40s, but my best bet was the under, and holy crap, was I wrong for at least the first half. Indy led 24-20. Right before halftime. So they were on pace for an 88-point game, which obviously they were never going to do. But I was texting you, and I was like, I was like, this is such a botch. This is the highest scoring game of the day. And this is one of my two unders. And then the entire second half, all they had was a safety, and it miraculously goes under. Watson fumbled at the Indy 7 with 1.5 minutes left, and Indy recovered to keep those points off the board. But yeah, so the bet actually hits at under 50, even though you sweat it the entire time. No other really. I was kind of right about the Houston production. The Houston running backs combined for 52 yards. So they got putrid numbers from them. And Watson didn't have a touchdown because he didn't have wide receivers. He just had one pick. So I felt like I was kind of the right call, and it ended up kind of back ending into it. So I'll take it. You got anything on this game?
No. You just barely missed the single game parlay, which kind of was a, you know, unluckiness. But
yeah, I also saw DraftKings had Cook's numbers at over under 64.5, which means he would have squeaked it in. We had the over 68.5. He ended up with 65. So I was like, I didn't need to see that number. I didn't need to see that. On to the next game, the Giants at Seahawks. You hated this pick, but it just came so under. The Giants at Seahawks.
Why would I hate this pick?
When I picked it, the recap from last week, when you're like, you like the under here? And I was like, yeah, I like the under here.
Oh, I don't remember that. I don't remember what happened last week.
You could try listening to your own podcast, too.
I listened to it on the way. Anyway. when you talk, I really don't care about a lot of stuff. Because you're just terrible at this.
I'm terrible at this. Great defense from the Giants in this game. They forced two turnovers. Colt McCoy got the start, but he kind of, my notes on Colt McCoy just literally say bleh. He threw for 100 yards. Gallman had a pretty good game. This was a little bit of a crazy stat. So I got this from Brady Henderson from ESPN Stats. So before this season, going into the season and including playoffs, since Russell Wilson's been in the league, they've been 57-0 if they had a 4-point lead or more at halftime during his career. And this year they've lost two of those games. So they're starting to give up second half leads like they haven't in the past. Nothing really else to say here. Giants go on to actually win. They beat Seahawks 17-12, but obviously the 29 comes in way under the 47.5. So that would have been a win. Only other note I have here is the Rams overtook the division lead because of this. You got anything?
No.
It's a big fat no. All right.
I don't know why I would have said I got to go back and listen to what I don't know why I would have been so adamant about the over under that game.
Well, to be fair, you're only going to hear a snippet of it because I cut the 15 seconds of rambling you had afterwards.
There it is. Yeah, that's so why I'll
send
it.
You the uncut version where you just make a bunch of gross mouth noises and sound flabbergasted. Yeah. On to the next game, we have the Rams at Cards. So this was actually kind of a dueling bet. I like the Cards in this spot. You like the Rams. Rams dominated time of possession, 39 minutes to 21 minutes. They dominated first downs, 30 first downs to 18 for the Cards. Kind of a meh game for Murray. 3 touchdowns and a pick, but 21 for 39. So he was throwing incompletions everywhere and only 5 rushes for 15 yards. Rams led 17-14 after three, and then the two teams combined for 5 touchdowns in the fourth, so it became a flamethrower event. And now the Rams lead the division, like I just mentioned. So Murray threw a pick six with like 4 minutes to go. I don't know if it really would have swung the game because Cards go on to lose by 10, but made it less competitive.
Yeah, but that would have, I think they were down by 7 at that point. Or I don't know. I don't remember. But that
they pick were down by 10.
At that point?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Murray. I didn't think he would be real effective. I need to go back and find out how often he was blitzed. I made a huge rant on that last time we were here. I mean, McVay still haunting the Cardinals. He's 7-0 against them. Murray's stats against the Rams last year, 59 completion rate. This game, it was less than that. 173 yards. And Hopkins was kind of held in check. 8 receptions for only 52 yards. But Goff did all right. 37 for 47, 351, 1 TD, 104 rating. The Rams just love playing against Arizona. I mean, there are times Arizona looked like they just couldn't stop the Rams. Rams were 9 for 15 on third downs. Total yards in this game, 463 to 232, and 9 of the 11 drives the Rams had wound up in Arizona territory. So, these two teams play in a few more weeks. I can't wait to see what that spread is, because I'll probably be on the Rams again as well.
All right, on to the last game of our picks, the New England Patriots at the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers are favored by 1.5 in this spot. I wanted no part of that. I went with the Patriots. I think by the time we actually bet this, I think the Pats were favored by 1. But I brought up last week that it's kind of an untraditional bet because the biggest discrepancy was coaching. Anthony Lynn's a terrible coach. His win percentage is like 33% over the last 2 seasons, and then he's going up against Belichick. Yeah, and also Belichick's record against rookie quarterbacks is insane. He hasn't lost one in 7 years. So I went with the Pats, and the Pats squeaked it out 45-0. It's actually kind of amazing that was the total, since New England only outgained the Chargers by 33 yards, but outscored them by 45 points. But they got contributions from their special teams, punt return TD, blocked field goal TD. They forced 2 other turnovers. Cam only threw for 69 yards. I mean, the stats in this game are kind of all over the place. But yeah, either way, I get the pick there. You have anything here?
No, I was just kind of curious if they should move on from Lynn.
Yeah, I think they're going to.
I mean, he actually had success in his first 2 seasons, but since then, last year 5-11, this year 3-9. So maybe they're just waiting until the end of the season. But I don't know how you can kind of hold on to him with that kind of a record. And I mean, yeah, he's had 4 years. And they're not progressing. They're regressing. So
I feel like now that Patricia's gone, I feel like Lynn's got to be the next guy on the chopping block. I mean, they have a franchise quarterback now. I think in the offseason, they have an incredibly high chance of changing coaches and trying to get somebody that knows what he's doing in there. I think they've seen enough of him, like you said. So the games that we did not cover or don't have much of recaps because we didn't bet them are Jacksonville at Minnesota. Well, we can just do these rapid fire. I don't really have much of a note here other than it took overtime for Minnesota to beat Jacksonville. And Jacksonville now, at least for my season-long bet, has to win out, which they're definitely not going to do. They're 1-11. Justin Jefferson, another great game. 9 receptions, 121 yards and a touch. A million penalties for Jacksonville, 10 penalties. Yeah, nothing really else. You have anything here?
No.
I think of the remaining games, I only have 2 other notes. Wentz started the game for Philadelphia against the Packers, but Hurts finished the game, and he definitely was a little bit of a spark for them. So that's going to be interesting to see. I don't know if they've made any announcements yet, but that'll be interesting to see going into next week if it's going to be Hurts or if it's going to be Wentz. The only other note I have is I sent a flyer on the money line for this Detroit game. I don't know if you were following any of this or not. Detroit had been trailing the entire game, and then they scored 2 touchdowns in the last 2 minutes and 18 seconds to win. And then there was, and one of them was on a sack fumble. On Chicago 17. So I was like, I just did the money line because at Swift, when I sent you the bet, Swift was trending towards playing, but of course, a couple hours go by and then he's ruled out for the game. So I was like, well, this is a burnt ticket. And then, I started getting the updates about the scramble in the last 2 minutes. So that's a money line cover for your boy.
Yeah. I know of one Chicago listener that I'm sure he's just freaking out over that game. So, yeah, man, sorry.
Yeah. We have to workshop some, that I think that one Chicago listener is going to be making his professional appearance on the show for the holiday show, because there's no fucking rules for the holiday show. We have to workshop a couple titles for the segment. I was thinking Bears beats Battlestar Galactica as a head start.
Not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah, we'll workshop it a little bit.
They weren't they at 1.5-1? Yeah, because 6 straight losses. First time since 2002. God. Yeah.
What was their last win? Was it the Tampa Bay game? The Thursday night game?
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah. Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah, I thought that everyone was calling them fraudulent going into that game, and then they squeak out like a 1 or 2 point game in that one. But you got anything else?
No, I'm going to can't wait for the Dallas Baltimore game. I think it's going to be pretty exciting. And maybe we'll do some damage in the NFC East. If not, then we're just hoping at this point maybe the Jets can win 3 and Dallas somehow gets the top 5 pick.
Yeah, we also next week we'll touch on futures for player prop futures, just because it's kind of the last couple weeks here, but some interesting movement here. We were talking right before the pod started that Herbert went from -900 to -450 with basically just one bad game, and Jefferson having a good game receiving. I still don't think Jefferson can catch him. So maybe if Jefferson has another good game and Herbert has one more bad game, you can maybe get that under -200, and then that would start to get interesting. But there's that, and then there's the MVP. So Mahomes has been running away with it. The odds aren't up right now. Last I saw, it was Rodgers at +450, but Rodgers now has 5 more touchdowns than Mahomes. I really think it becomes a record thing at this point. If Green Bay wins out and KC loses one, I think that could be a toss up. So we'll see. Anyways.
Yeah. Let's get it going. We'll be back for Wednesday, Thursday, and then we'll get week 14. We have fantasy football playoffs too, so that'll be fun.
Oh, it's gonna be so good. Mike and I are in the same 2 leagues together, and you're in the playoffs in both, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, there's the one that if you don't make the playoffs, you're absolutely awful. Did our buddy make the playoffs? I don't know. Yeah. I'm not trying to take a shot at him, but
I think our buddy got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
funny we always say that, but there's usually out of the 3 out of the 12, there's 12 people in the league. There's 3 of us that are friends that talk about this every year, and usually somebody falls out. But anyways, I think we're all in this year.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we have a lot to talk about upcoming week.
All right. Please hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Outcaster, whatever, Google Podcasts, and hit us up at livetograsp@gmail.com. All right, take care, guys.
See you.